Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Judged from a cosmotheist perspective, the recent actions of Dylann Roof, who killed 9 blacks by shooting them in their largely segregated Charleston, South Carolina church a few days ago, are simultaneously understandable, inevitable, and misdirected. And they may contribute in ways that neither Roof nor our enemies anticipate to breaking the stasis that holds white people in our current downward slow death spiral. What Dylann Roof did on June 17 was understandable for many, many reasons, almost all of which are considered unmentionable by the powers that be in the former United States of America. It is a fact that some 90% of interracial violent crime is black on white in this country. It is also a fact that far more than 90% of the national news coverage of interracial crime carried in the controlled media concerns allegedly racist whites or proxies for whites, such as the racially mixed George Zimmerman, who kill or harm blacks or other non-whites. From the Rodney King affair a quarter century ago to the unrest stoked by media outrage over the Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin and Freddie Gray cases in recent years, there is a repeated pattern of media sensationalism and the deliberate creation of a narrative of alleged nationwide white racism to justify black violence. But when young whites are raped and tortured and murdered execution style by blacks, when a little white boy is blowtorched to death by a black, when innumerable other crimes against whites are committed, there is no outrage, and usually no national news coverage at all from the controlled media. It's interesting to note that Dylann Roof's own actions are now the subject of exactly the same kind of selective media outrage that awakened Roof in the first place. Just as the CIA drone bombings of innocents in the Middle East produces hundreds of new Bin Ladens for every terrorist killed, so too does the Jews' own overreaching and unabashed hatred of whites bring new white awakenings every day. And Dylann Roof noticed all this. He saw he was being lied to on a massive scale. He saw who the real victims and real perpetrators were. He did research and found white nationalist websites that told the truth, the verifiable truth on these matters. He checked the facts and even found some of the data on interracial crime on Wikipedia. And angered because he had been lied to, and by the fact that he saw no real effective action to counter the liars, he decided that he had to act himself. And he unfortunately decided to make his act an act of mere revenge. Since Roof's act of revenge, there have been several other mass shootings, 2 of them in Philadelphia and Detroit in just the last few days. Since these were all black-on-black shootings, of which there are hundreds every year, they received close to zero media attention. Not a single network pundit bade us worry about the epidemic of black crime, which is real. But plenty opined on the almost non-existent threat of white racist violence. As one astute observer remarked to me recently, quote, "Spree killings are now relatively common among all races in America, but elites care only about those perpetrated by whites, especially racially conscious ones. They selectively use such killings to advance the state's genocidal agenda. If there were no white spree killings at all, nothing would change. There would merely be different excuses and justifications. The killings don't make matters worse or better for whites. They don't speed up genocide or slow it down. Three episodes must be separated from run-of-the-mill killings. The activities of the Order in the 1980s, Timothy McVeigh in the 1990s, and Anders Behring Breivik in Norway in 2011. These are of an entirely different degree of sophistication and magnitude than the others. McVeigh, of course, was not a racialist, but he was anti-government. The 1980s and 1990s already belong to a different era from the standpoint of social and political milieu. Jewish power and hatred has enormously increased in the interim. Whites are on their deathbed, and big government is more sinister and extremist than ever. Ominously, Jews keep ratcheting up murderous hatred against whites. Their shrillness and bloodthirstiness is impossible to ignore. As far as the other killings go, the most remarkable thing about them is their pointlessness. The perpetrators are aware that they will die or wind up in prison for life. Yet they do not even choose high-value targets. There is essentially no rhyme or reason to their actions. This makes me view them more as symptoms than individuals. Jews, the left, and the government are committing genocide. There is no doubt about that. It can be denied, but denial does not alter the fact. When a decision is made to eliminate an entire race of people, never mind a major race of mankind, the first time in history that such an operation has been contemplated and undertaken, there is bound to be a reflex action on the part of the victims, no matter how mild and ineffectual. Spree killers are one such reflex. My view is that the members of the ruling class responsible for the greatest crime against humanity ever committed should thank their god, the devil, every night that they have been let off so easily. They don't, of course, but they should. It is remarkable that basically nothing has happened to them, or will happen to them, apart from a massive increase in their wealth and power. Amerindians put up a far more spirited fight against dispossession than have whites against intentional genocide, which the ruling class itself sanctimoniously declares to be the most serious of all crimes. They are obviously running a well-oiled killing machine with utmost efficiency." Close quote. Since Dylann Roof's deed, the Jewish power structure has been in double overdrive, seeking to ban the Confederate flag as a racist symbol, censor pro-white speech, and ratchet up government persecution of white dissidents, using Roof as an excuse. The media frenzy has been monomaniacal and continuous. The spilling of blood, as it often does, has flushed out the enemy from his hiding places and kicked all of us out of our former stasis. So new dangers and opportunities are about to emerge. large rallies in the South to oppose the demonization and banning of the Confederate flag are being planned, and the National Alliance will be there, raising racial awareness with a flyer which is downloadable if you read the text version of this broadcast. Just follow the links. Dylann Roof's actions were inevitable because our race still produces men of honor. And men of honor do not go gentle into that good night. A man of honor is not submissive when his loved ones, his family, and the innocent among his folk are killed, tortured, cruelly abused, and enslaved. A man of honor is moved to action when his people are being exterminated, and when that willful murder is covered up and justified by lies. A man of honor does not keep silent and do nothing, even when keeping silent and doing nothing would result in a painless, easy life. A man of honor steps forward and takes responsibility, regardless of personal consequences. As long as our race survives, it will produce men of honor. Honor without discipline, organization, and understanding, however, is ineffective. Dylann Roof's understanding was incomplete, and his choice of actions was more than unfortunate. But there will be many more who choose to act in the years to come. Men of honor who cannot stand aside and be a spectator to a slaughter of the innocent, to the genocide of our people. And it will be our responsibility to see that those men of honor have a more complete understanding of our people's plight than Dylann Roof did. It will be our responsibility to ensure that their lives are not wasted on a fruitless gesture of revenge, a slaughter of the innocent among other peoples, while leaving the real murderers unscathed. It will be our responsibility to organize men and women of honor into an organization and a community, and to make that organization the unquestioned vehicle for our people's rebirth, so that organizational discipline and training and education can direct the energies of such men into a finely honed and expertly directed sword that cuts out all of the rot and the evil, and to the maximum extent possible, only the rot and the evil, and leaves the innocent unharmed. My vision is not merely one of Dylann Roof being held back from throwing away his life on an unworthy act, but of building a whole new nation. In the beginning, a nation in the making, in which the martial instincts and inborn patriotism of our youth can find a healthy outlet in the defense of our race and our culture, instead of being thrown away, murdering innocents in the Middle East for Israel, or murdering innocents in Europe for NATO or the bankers. Dylann Roof's actions were misdirected because the blacks that Roof targeted were the least offensive, least dangerous, and among the most self-segregated blacks imaginable, short of actual separatists, and because they and other blacks have no power to create and no intellectual ability to engineer the multidimensional pincer movement of violence, demoralization, moral perversion, wealth transfer, and mass replacement that threatens white survival. without the agitation and self-interested manipulation of both whites and blacks by the Jewish power structure, American blacks would either be self-segregated to the point of near harmlessness, or they'd have been placed on the other side of a border or an ocean from us long ago. If Dylann Roof wanted to sacrifice his freedom and his life in order to inspire whites to awaken to their grave danger or defend them against those who are engineering their downfall, why target non-whites who were most likely not involved in any conscious way in the war against us, who were perceived as merely trying to live their lives in peace? Such a choice helped our enemies, helped them enlist the support of empathetic, altruistic, and sympathetic whites in their efforts to outlaw speech and organizing on behalf of our race. How different it would have been if, say, three major operatives of the banking cartel that is bleeding us to death and three bought and paid for Jew-fawning war criminal white politicians of the most corrupt and sickening type, and three tax-sucking academics whose careers are based on teaching white students to hate their own race and work for its death, had all been removed from the ranks of the living instead. And how different it would have been if, instead of the way of the barbarian, the Mongol, and the Jew, the way of summary execution, these men had been arrested, indicted, tried, convicted, and punished for capital murder, incitement to murder, genocide, war crimes, theft, fraud, and all the rest of their unspeakable crimes as appropriate. How different it would have been if such punishment had been meted out not just by an individual outraged at the crimes of the illegal regime and its overlords, but by a group, a government in the making, along the lines of the Irish Freedom Fighters or the PLO, dedicated to restoring freedom, self-government, and self-determination to our people. Call it the Provisional Revolutionary Government of North America, if you like. Whatever you call it, it doesn't exist yet. And that's where we have failed the current generation of white youth. That's where we failed Dylann Roof. With discipline, with an organizational vehicle for their physical, mental, and moral energy, with a thorough understanding of their people's history and a firm grounding in who we are in both the biological and historical senses, with a support network of thousands of racial patriots, with a healthy community in which they can find mates and build for the future, and with the moral certainty of a new, unshakable fighting creed of iron, our future warriors will be assets to a new and rising nation, a nation with an unlimited destiny, instead of being out of control liabilities to a cowed and cowardly herd of domesticated cattle whose highest aspirations are to live without exertion and die without pain. Building such a vehicle is the task of the National Alliance, which is well expressed in the National Vanguard logotype. Toward a new consciousness, a new order, a new people. Join and help us in that great task today. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com. That's NATALL.com. Or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies.